Well, it's really good to have you. It's good to be here. It's good to be in his presence. Of course, we always are in his presence. George is telling me, whenever sometimes I'll ask George, how's it going? He'll say, well, I'm above ground. That's like a good day. And I want to go, you're way above ground. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're above a lot of things. And this is a little bit of the word that I'll share on Sunday soon. The part two I keep wanting to do that the Lord so rudely keeps interrupting. This is from Romans chapter 1. I think it's important. I think that what the enemy tries to, he's a thief who's come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And the thing that he wants to destroy the most or steal is a Christian's identity. If he can keep a believer from really understanding what happened to them as a result of the finished work of Christ, what the gospel, the good news is really, what the good news actually is, for them to really understand now who they are, what does it mean to be saved, then he can keep them from ever really walking out their new birth, walk out their new creation. If he can't stop them from becoming a Christian, he finds great joy in stopping them from being the Christian they've become. So it's again important for you to remember that Jesus Christ is our salvation. I didn't say Jesus Christ created your salvation or Jesus Christ accomplished your salvation. And those things could be said to be true, but it's in the person of Christ that you and I are saved. It's because that you're in Christ and because he's in you, because there's union with him, that you're saved. That's how God saved you. It's not some legal transaction where God stamped you saved. It's by placing you into the person of Christ and now you having his standing, his nature, his inheritance, everything that he is, now you have, that's what makes you saved. That's how God did it. But it's amazing how little that is preached. And therefore, Christians, so many Christians don't understand that they'll say to you, yes, Jesus Christ purchased my salvation, or I'm saved because of Christ. But to understand that Jesus Christ himself is your salvation. If you aren't in him, then you're not saved. And being in him is what makes you saved. And that's why that phrase, in Christ, is the most important phrase in the Bible, in the human language. That's why it's used almost 300 times in the New Testament, because it explains the gospel. Paul, only in the book of Acts, I think it's one time when Christians are referred to as Christians. Everywhere else, Paul referred to believers as people who are in Christ. He never said, you Christians at Colossae or Ephesus in his letters, because a lot of people could claim to be a Christian, but it was those who were in Christ who were true Christians. That's what made you a Christian. And so that's why I talk about it so much, is because we try to get to all these deep things, often people do, but they skipped over the simplest thing of all. Like, what does it mean to be saved? And this is why I like, this was not part of the word, but this is from Romans chapter 5. So I'm going to read it to you the way it's written in the grammar should be, the way it's originally written. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, now having been reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. Understanding what your nature is huge. I expect, like I have this wonderful dog at home who's like 17-month-old Labrador puppy, who still just searches every corner, every trash can in every room for anything to chew. That's just what they do. And at some point, they're supposed to stop between now and 2 years. And I'll be so glad because she chewed up 2 chairs on the porch. She chews up plastic. She's like a tiger shark, like a goat. She's a billy goat. And she'll eat grass, paper, metal, anything. That's just her nature. But she's also really sweet. That's part of her nature, too. And so nature involves attitude, disposition, but also behavior. And behavior is a result of the attitude, disposition, but they're connected. And it's just a Labrador Retriever's nature to be happy, to love children, to be really sweet, and to eat everything until they don't. There's nothing you can do about it. And, well, the Bible says this. It says, we've quoted this verse a lot lately, for he made him, Jesus, the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, God's nature is righteousness. The most dominant reality of that nature is he's love. And but Christians will often talk about, Christian teachers will talk about, I was just reading something, a great book I've been reading for a while. It's a theological book about the incarnation. And they say a lot of wonderful things, but then in explaining the gift of righteousness to us, because our righteousness is a filthy rag. And so if you get bent toward yourself, even as a Christian, and you try to live righteous for God, it's just filthy rag. And what we were trying to do before we were saved, our whole life in terms of righteousness, was a filthy rag. And because we were by nature children of wrath. And but what many will say, what's been sort of a dominant thought or theology, is that when a person becomes a Christian, then you're given the gift of righteousness. And now because of that, you have a right standing with God. It's called imputed righteousness. It means this is what God says about you. But that's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture says you didn't get something. It says you became something. And he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, became my sin on my behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Not just any old righteousness, but the righteousness of God in Christ. And so your nature, the free gift of righteousness, isn't a thing God gives you. It's Jesus and his righteousness as your gift. 1 Corinthians, and at its core, this little word, as I'm sharing, is, let me do my sticky notes from a different message, is this message at its core is, if there's a secret to victorious Christian living, it's this word. By his doing, the Father, you're in Christ Jesus, pure grace, by his doing, who became to us wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Righteousness is a who. It's Jesus who became to us righteousness and holiness. So this is Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And Romans is considered the heaviest, most important theological writing that's ever been written, these 16 chapters. But it's really simple, the gospel, the Romans is. It's all about the gospel. And it's all about the gospel, the good news of the gift of the righteousness of God in Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For in them, now, my Bible, which is a really good one, says for in it, but the word actually isn't it, it's the word them. It could be translated she or he or self or them. Because he's just talked about to the Jew and to the Gentile. For in them, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's the new birth. That in you, the gospel is that in you, the righteousness of God is revealed. The nature of God, which involves not just disposition, but behavior that reflects that disposition. That in you, and in you, the righteousness of God is revealed. How? By me praying enough, studying enough, witnessing enough. All those things are a manifestation of righteousness. But from faith to faith. We talked about this yesterday. All faith can do is, faith is the word trust. It's just trust in the fact that Jesus, who is my life, is my righteousness. He's my nature. That's my nature. And I, moment by moment, receive that reality. Receive him as that truth, as my life. So, I think I was telling Karen, I don't think I shared this yesterday. I was telling Karen this yesterday afternoon. So there was, I was communicating with somebody not here, not from Selma. So it's not anybody any of you know. And it was a difficult conversation. I felt like I was steamrolled in the conversation. I mean, they weren't trying to be ugly or mean. It was just someone who was so alpha, you could almost see their nose snorting smoke coming out like a, it was just weird. And the Lord had told me, and they're a wonderful person, that and Jesus thinks they're wonderful. You with me? But I was just thinking sort of that, sorting this out in my own heart, not towards this person necessarily at all, but just the truth again, because Jesus is the truth. And so his nature is my nature, not because he gives it to me, but because I share in it. You with me? So I participate in his nature, and his nature is righteousness. That's the free gift of righteousness. And so the other day, the Lord was talking to me in general about just loving. And I was thinking about Jesus. What happens with me, Jesus will speak to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word about Christ. That's what Romans 10:17 says. And so in the process of, even though we're not separate, we're distinct. We're one, but there's a distinction. So we have relationship, but we're one. And so he'll speak to me, teaching me who we are. Kind of like, I know when my boys were young, and I would say to them, talk to them about, when you get older and you date, or you go off to college or whatever, and said, so you're going to date a bug-eyed Christian, and you're going to date a bug-eyed spirit-filled Christian. I think one of them said, well, why don't we go off to college? I said, well, then, unless you intend to pay for your own college and all everything that goes with it, this is what you do. I said, as a matter of fact, if I catch you, and I told him this too, I said, because I smoked when I was 12 years old. It was an awful thing. It was the hardest thing I ever quit doing after I got saved. I said, if I ever catch you smoking cigarettes as a way of life, I will put a brick on your foot and throw you in the Alabama River. We were crossing the bridge. But I said, you're going to date Christians, bug-eyed Christians. And I said, because you're a Jones, and that's what Joneses do. You understand me? I was trying to put this is who you are. You have no choice in this. And so Jesus will speak to me and sometimes you ask these questions like, so Lord, I'm called to love this person. We're loving this person because we're always thinking, the Lord, he told me, a couple weeks ago, I'm teaching you to only think that which is best about everybody all the time. And so that can be a challenge to your flesh. So in the process, you can sort of find yourself trying to find those best things about them so that you can think it. But every now and then, you're like going, I'm having to search really hard here, Lord. What's lovable about this person? And Jesus said, you know why I love them? Not this person I talked to, but just in general. He said, because it's my nature. Simply as that. And then he said, it's our nature, Chuck. See, whenever he tells me that, he's not inviting me to imitate him. He's reminding me who we are, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And in that moment, by faith, I can say, thank you, Lord, that I get to experience your righteousness manifesting through me. And your righteousness looks like a lot of things. But one of the things it looks like is loving people just because it's our nature. Thanks, Jesus. And I'm receiving him in that moment into my experience, because his righteousness is my righteousness. His nature is my nature. But so walk in faith. You with me? And so when we say things like, well, Lord, this person's kind of scary. And Jesus said to me, well, I'm not scared of them. And he said, I love them too much to be afraid of them. And then he would go, don't we, Chuck? Because that's his nature. But you know what? He's reminding me that's my nature. And so in that moment, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are my victory and my righteousness, to not be afraid, to be at peace. The peace of God is a manifestation of righteousness. The joy is a manifestation of righteousness. Love, joy, peace, all that stuff's a manifestation of his righteousness. And so he instructs us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word about Christ, from Christ. Because here's the deal, he's trying to teach us, this is your nature. It's your nature to be at peace. It's your nature to not be critical. It's your nature to not say unkind things. It's your nature to not say unruly things. It's your nature to not be rude. Love is all those things it says. It's your nature to not take into account a wrong suffered. That's our nature, Chuck. I thought, wow. And when you start believing that, that that's your nature, it's easier for you to walk in faith there because that's who you are. It's not imputed. It's imparted. The change is that ontological. It is that systemic. He changed you. You became a new self. And that self is the nature of Christ. That's why they started calling them Christians, little Christs. Not because they were Christ, but because they were carried him in union with him, revealed him. The righteousness of God revealed in us. That's in the present tense. Continually revealed in us, in them, in us, from faith to faith. Okay?